Commence our reading at verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books, according to their works. And then we read that solemn verse already, verse 15, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. I'd like to read in one of the Psalms, 139, Psalm 139, marvelous words of David, speaking of our beginning in the womb of our mother. Verse 13, thou hast possessed my reins, thou hast covered me, or knit me together in my mother's womb. I will praise thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are thy works. Verse 15, my substance or my frame was not hid from thee when I was made in secret and curiously wrought in the lowest parts of the earth. Thine eyes did see my substance, yet being unperfect, and in thy book all my members were written, which in continuance were fashioned, when as yet there was none of them. I will read one more portion of the Word of God in the Gospel by Luke chapter 4. Gospel by Luke chapter 4, concerning the Lord Jesus. Verse 16, and he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up. Verse 17, and there was delivered unto him the book, prophet Isaiah. And when he opened the book, he found the place where it was written, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He hath sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, and recovery of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. And he closed the book. Now the Lord will bless to us the reading with what has gone before of the solemn Word of God. I'd like to speak a word this evening, perhaps a little unusual, but I've been thinking a great deal about it, and I feel that it would follow what we have been solemnly listening to. And that is to speak a little about the subject of the heavenly books. We have read here a very interesting statement in relationship to that last great judgment day. Every one of us here will be there. Every child, every man, every woman, every believer, every unbeliever. Those of us who are believers, we will be there, safe by the side of the Lamb of God. It will be the largest congregation that has ever been seen in space, and it will be the final gathering. None like that will ever occur again. Upon a great white throne there will sit the Savior of the world, who on that day will be the judge. Before him assembled the dead, small and great, called from every island of the sea, From the graves of sea and land, from ancient cemeteries they will come. All the dead, small and great, will be there, standing before God to be judged. And with him by his side will be the believers. I was standing at the grave of Robert Murray McShane, faithful preacher of the gospel, died when he was 28 years of age, was having meetings near to where he preached in Dundee, and I went to stand by his grave, and I thought of the many beautiful hymns that that man had edited, but there was one that came to me with force as I stood there that day. When I hear the wicked call on the rocks and hills to fall, when I see them start and shrink on the deluge fiery brink, not till then, Lord, shall I know, not till then, how much I owe. I wonder, will you be standing before that throne, or will you be standing safe at the side of the Lamb of God? The Bible says there is therefore now no judgment, Romans chapter 8, to them that are in Christ Jesus. I remember when I was first saved, the beauty of John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation. I wonder, are you one of those that shall not come into condemnation? There's only two classes at that great assize, and there are only two classes in the world tonight. Men have divided it racially and religiously and politically, but in the eyes of God, you're either a sinner saved by grace, and over your head can be written as you lie in your bed tonight, not condemned. He that believeth is not condemned, or else lie in your bed tonight, not condemned. He that believeth is not condemned. Or else, as you lie down tonight, whoever you may be, these words, sad words, can be written over your head. Condemned already. The sentence passed before the great assize. Now I have been impressed in that judgment day with this little sentence, the books were opened. That's my text tonight. Be easily remembered. The books were opened. And then we read another remarkable thing, another book. It's another of the same kind. It's another book like the other books that are here. But the books were opened. And another book was opened. It suggests at least there were two books that will be lying open. To use this and apply it spiritually, God is using terms that we can understand, what it appeals to our mind to bring the truth home. The books were open. So there are two books that are lying open before the judge and before those who are about to be sentenced that day. And then there is another book. It's still closed, but another book was opened, described here in solemn language. It's the final verdict. Another book was opened. Oh, what a day that will be. I want to speak just for a few minutes upon those books. The first book I'm going to speak about affects every one of us here. It's the book of our record. That's why I read Psalm 139. Before your conception and before my conception, we have no record.
But as soon as we were conceived in the womb of our mother, He watched us as we were curiously formed in the lowest parts of the earth. He knew our frame. And in Thy book, all my members were written. Whatever other application men may make, it simply means that God wrote all about my body in the womb of my mother. He wrote all about my beginning. He brought me into the world. I might have died in my mother's womb. Who can tell? But He saw me there and He brought me in. And my name was written in heaven, in the book of the records. The name that was given to me at my birth, I will carry forever. The name that was given to you and by which you are known here tonight is the name by which you will be known forever, either in heaven with Christ or in hell, lost, for hope will never come. You are an individual. We were conceived individually in the womb of our mother. And the verdict that was written in that record concerning our conception in the womb of our mother was this. David put it like this in another psalm. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. The first record in that book of records concerning the speaker was this. Conceived in sin, shapen in iniquity. Tells me, of course, that life preceded our birth. But into that we will not go this evening. But as soon as we entered into the world, the second record was this. Born unclean. Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. Every single man and woman and boy and girl that has ever lived in this world or will yet live in it and is living in it now has a personal record above. Job said, my record is on high. The record of your conception, the record of your birth, the time of your birth, how you entered into the world, the same as all others, apart from the record of one recorded in another book. For we read those lovely words in the 40th Psalm concerning His coming into the world. In the volume of the book, it is written of me, my delight is to do Thy will. A unique book in heaven, the book of divine purposes, and the headline of that book is the Lord Jesus, the only birth without sin into the world. But this book of records, it records every day of my life, every day of your life. That book of record records all your sins, every hidden thing, every covered crime, every sin that men have ever committed in this world is recorded against their name in the book of the records. You know what we read in the 50th Psalm? In a day to come, I will set them in order before your eyes. If you're not saved here and the sin question for you has not been settled, the record is growing every day. Your sin is heaping up and will call down eternal judgment upon you. For the Bible says in Romans 6:23, the wages of sin is death. All your sins are remembered and recorded by God in heaven, the book of the records. But do you know something? There's another book that will be there, and it's the book that is in my hand. The Lord Jesus, when He came into the world on His first message of the gospel, He opened the book, and He read from the book, and He outlined this program of grace. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, sent me to preach the gospel to the poor. He's the gospel preacher to the poor. He's the binder of the brokenhearted. He sets at liberty those that we heard about that are captive. And he has come to heal the bruised spirits of men. He opened the book. He opened the gospel.
It's a marvelous thing that we are sent into all the world to preach this gospel. And what is the gospel?
The gospel is the good news. The word means good news. And I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ. The good news concerning Christ. What is that good news?
That all sin can be forgiven unto the sons of men. And every blasphemy with whichsoever he may have blasphemed. This gospel that we preach extends the repentance and the forgiveness of sins to every man that is a record in heaven. And that includes the whole wide world. We can go to the vilest wretch. We can go to a man in Africa in the jungle there in the bush. We can go across the sea to Australia, New Zealand, to the Orient. We can go to any land in this world, any great city, any hamlet, every color and class. Go into all the world and preach, not politics, religion, no, preach the gospel, the good news.
What is that good news? Luke 24, Jesus said, ought not Christ to have suffered, and it behold Christ to suffer and rise again the third day, and that repentance, a change of mind in the hearts of men, and the forgiveness of sins should be preached in his name among all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. Go to the man that nailed me to the cross. Go to the man that crowned me with thorns. Begin with Jerusalem sinners and tell them I'm willing to forgive. How can God forgive guilty men with a record tonight in heaven? A record that man on earth may know nothing about. A record, if it was revealed, would send men into the penitentiary for life. All sin is known by God, and be sure your sin will find you out. How can God offer a free and a full forgiveness? By the preaching of this book that's in my hand. And this book makes absolute clear preaching to those who are in their sins that because another one was bound, as we have heard, and was led to Calvary. Calvary is the basis of the offer. Upon that cross, one has died for all. The Bible says, listen to it, he was wounded for our transgressions and bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was laid upon him, and with the stripes we are healed. The Bible says all we like sheep have gone astray. That's the record. All are astray. We have turned everyone to his own way. And the Lord hath laid upon him the iniquity of us all. Upon Calvary's middle cross, the Savior became answerable to God on account of sin. The gospel that we preach is very plain. Christ died for our sins, according to the Scriptures, and was buried, and was raised again, as this day tells us, raised again the third day, according to the Scriptures. God laid upon his Son the sin of the world. He is the propitiation for our sins, and not for ours alone, but for the world. And we here and now would declare in this gospel meeting that when Christ shed his blood upon the cross, he made ample provision for the salvation of every man in the world. Go ye into all the world. None are left out of the provision. But many will perish because they don't avail themselves of the provision. Because they have not accepted the provision. And the whole thrust of the gospel that we preach is simply this. He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. But he that believeth not the Son, nothing to do with religion here, getting your sins blotted out depends upon what you do with Christ. Receive Him as your personal Savior here and now on the seat where you sit, and all your sins will be blotted out as a thick cloud. The blood of Jesus Christ, His Son, cleanseth us from all sin. There's not a sinner here, however vile you may be, whatever mix up in your life, whatever sin is covered, whatever burdens of sin are recorded in heaven against your name, you can leave this place with your record entirely blotted out, without money and without Christ. You say, how can it be? The first step is this. You own that you're a lost sinner. You drag your sins out in the presence of God, and you will take the place like the apostle Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners. I'm a sinner. God be merciful to me, the sinner, as if I were the only one. The book of the records, everyone is that.
But as soon as you listen to God's precious word preached in the gospel and accept it,
now, accepting the gospel is a very emotional experience. Some people don't believe we should speak to the souls of men, to their emotional part. But I believe that that moment when a sinner is not far from the kingdom of God and the offer of forgiveness is extended to him, it's the most emotional moment in his life. Your destiny for heaven or hell can be settled here, right in this gospel meeting tonight.
It's an emotional moment. But it's also a devotional moment. The moment that a sinner sees that on the cross, the Lord Jesus, the Son of God, dying on that cross, was not only dying for the world to make provision, but He was dying for me as an individual. In my place condemned He stood. And as soon as we see that on that cross of shame and curse beyond the northern side of Jerusalem, the Savior of the world died for a sinner like me that I might be saved, as soon as I take it in, what takes place? My heart goes up in worship. I noticed we have that hymn in this hymn book, and I always loved it. And when I think that God, His Son, not sparing, sent Him to die, I scarce can take it in, that on the cross, my burden gladly bearing, He bled and died to take away my sin. Then sings my soul, my Savior God, to Thee. How great Thou art. It's a devotional moment. It's an emotional moment. But it's also a moment of intelligent faith. The sinner intelligently believes I'm lost. His case is diagnosed. My record is in heaven. It's a dreadful record, and it's going to be cut to be faced by every sinner in that day. As soon as I believe the record of the Scriptures that God gave concerning His Son, and intelligently I'm assured by the Word of God without a feeling that he that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life. It means he has it. The Bible is absolutely plain here. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever, every man, and not a sinner, it's your birthright here as a lost son of a fallen race to come to God directly, whether it be in your bedroom or sitting in this gospel meeting. It's hard work, you know, being saved. The gospel enters into your mind, but it reaches your heart, and as you sit here in a simple meeting like this, it's your opportunity to claim
as a guilty son of a fallen race. What is yours presented to you tonight, your birthright, don't sell it for a mess of pottage. What shall a man give in exchange for his soul? Every man has a price. Don't let Satan rob you of the glorious salvation purchased by the Redeemer on Calvary for a sinner like you. But as you sit here tonight, will you say from your heart, my record isn't high. I'm a guilty lost sinner. I'm perishing. But I do claim salvation purchased by the precious blood of Christ. I will believe tonight for time and for eternity that the Savior on Calvary died that I might live, that heaven might be my home when the journey's done. Surely there must be someone in this great audience tonight, some mother's son, some child of many prayers, some older man, your father's in heaven, some older woman, some husband with a saved wife that's praying you might be saved. Some child of many prayers has come in tonight. Maybe you're here, you've no one to pray for you. You're a stranger, you've never heard these things before. It matters not. All you need to know is this. I am a guilty sinner, but Jesus died for me. Take it in on the seat where you sit. There's nothing sophisticated about the offer. It's a genuine offer. It always works. The sinner that takes the sinner's place before God and owns, I'm lost. If I die tonight, I'll never be in heaven. I'm perishing. But I believe in my heart, myself, that on Calvary's brow, the Savior of the world died for a sinner like me, and I will believe it. And I will take the gift right now. Do you know what will happen? The books that are opened. From that book, your name and all your record will be deleted. Right now when I'm speaking, anyone here who believes the gospel, your record will be deleted, never to be remembered. As far as the east is from the west, so far have they removed our transgressions from us. The moment the sinner believes, his sins are eternally cancelled. And we are placed before God as if we had never sinned to begin with. And what happens? My name is written in another book. Oh, I go back 47 years ago, last Lord's Day evening, was my birthday. When as a boy of 19, I knelt at Calvary as a sinner. And my worthless name was written in life's eternal book. Often think of that old hymn, 'twas grace that wrote my name in life's eternal book. 'Twas grace that gave me to the Lamb, who all my sorrows took. Friend of mine, where is your name tonight? Is your name written there, on the page white and fair? Tell me, Jesus the Savior, is my name written there? Soon as a man believes the gospel, a woman, a boy, or a girl, his record is blotted out, his name is deleted, I'm transferred to the book of life. What's the book of life? It's the book of the saved. Oh, I'm glad my name is among the saved tonight. The epistle to the Hebrews chapter 12 says the church of the firstborn ones whose names are written in heaven. The apostle writing to the Philippians speaks of his fellow laborers and he said whose names are written in heaven. In Luke chapter 10, the Savior said to the 70, don't rejoice that demons are subject to you, but rejoice rather that your names are written in heaven. The books were opened. Book number one, the records. Oh, the cries of sinners as their sins confront them at the last. And the joy that will fill our hearts. Do you know what we'll do when that book of the records is open? We'll turn our wondering eyes to his pierced side. And we'll thank him as we have never thanked him before for the blood that he shed and for the spirit that wooed us. We never would have come apart from the Holy Ghost. The gospel that reached us. I was standing in an African township a few months ago, looking out at over 100,000 people, Bantus. Not one of them had ever heard the Savior's name. Dying in their sins and poverty on the hillsides. Where I was born in Ireland, a stone's cast from where I was born next door to the Gospel Hall, in the nursing home of one of the early brethren, Dr. Darling. You can cast a stone from where I was born at Hook Hill to Edward Street. I never knew a man in Edward Street that was ever saved. It's in the thraldom of darkness. If I'd been born a stone's cast away, I might have lived and died in darkness. Isaac Watts, the father of English hymnology, wrote many hymns, When I Survey the Wondrous Cross, and so on. But this is a hymn of his that always touches me. Why was I made to hear his voice and enter while there's room? While millions made the wretched choice and would rather starve than come. It was the grace that spread the feast that sweetly drew me in. Else I would still remain without, perish in my sins. Yesterday, a young man professed to be saved when Brother Crawford and I were in Seneca College and our brother that raised the singing was with us. And he came to me up at the front here, living in another city now, in the assembly. And he said, you know, the thing that reached my heart, and you men were preaching, was the way you spoke about the Lord Jesus and how his blood was shed. And I was drawn to the Lord Jesus. And he said to me, this young man, he said, brother, always preach the Lord Jesus and his atoning blood to sinners. And so my little message is ended here tonight. Just an appeal to make right now. In the day that those books are opened, and the Bible will be opened, not to preach the gospel to you, but the Bible will be opened to be condemnation to you. John 12, he that heareth my word and receiveth it not, the same word that he has listened to shall judge him in the last day. There were many sinners at that great white throne that never heard John 3 and 16. They died without ever having the opportunity of hearing the Bible preached. What wilt thou say when he shall punish thee? Young man, what will you say? Do you know what you'll say? I need never have come here. I knew John 3 and 16. My father was saved, my mother was saved. I heard the gospel preached many times. Even in that meeting that night by those two men preached the gospel, I heard it. And I knew the word of God. I need never have come here, but it's too late. The lake of fire, oh friend of mine, who can speak of these things? Not even an angel. Whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. The word in the Greek text is Gehenna. Gehenna's fire, where hope will never come. I know they've written in the Star recently that everyone will go to heaven. Dear Harper, needs our prayers. And men all around us are denying eternal punishment. Some people tell us that they believe it, but when we examine them, they don't believe in the consciousness of the one that suffers. Eternal punishment is not going out of existence. eternal punishment is to be conscious for all the ages that are to come, never ending, no second chance, no hope, the gulf is fixed, and you'll either be in heaven with Christ or in the lake of fire. Where will you spend eternity? Oh, may God save you tonight. If I never see you again, if we never preach here again, I want to say, may the Lord save you, everyone, that none may leave this meeting tonight. Down in Galvindale there, in that poor little area where men are dying in violence, one night 7 men came in. Could hardly believe my eyes. One man, his face was marred with knife wounds. And as they stood there, I said to the brethren, I can't speak to 7 men in one night. And this young fellow, he stepped forward, his face was black and shiny, and he had the marks of the knives in his face and hands. As he stood there, he said, sir, I want to talk to you alone. When I went into that room, he was bent down his knees and the tears were running down his face. Said, I'm a sinner. I'm lost. I need Christ. I was amazed at his language. And when we went afterwards, when he had trusted Christ as his Savior and we rose up to go out, there was an old sister standing at the door. She threw her arms around him. And she said, I taught you in Sunday school. He was 16 when he left and went to a world of violence. She was waiting at the door. You know, it touched me. And here we are tonight. And the conference is almost over. And not one that we know has trusted Christ as a Savior. You're going home. Some of you to cities out around Ontario. Some going out to Iowa and Wisconsin. Some going north to Nipissing and to the Northland. You'll be going home in a car with your parents tonight. I wonder, will you go with Christ or without him? God grant you may trust him right now. Shall we pray? Our Father, we give thee thanks in the name of the Lord Jesus for the preaching of the gospel, for reminding us of sin and its consequences, and that men are unfit for heaven, and some are not far from the kingdom. But, O God, we pray that some may enter tonight, that in this company there may be men and women who will think this matter over, that their priorities may be right, that they may take the long look away from this building and from Toronto on this Easter Sunday night, and they may look out into eternity and ask themselves serious questions. Where will I be 5 minutes after I die? Is my name in the book of life? Is my record blotted out? Do I know the cleansing blood of Christ? Am I depending on the Lamb who died and suffered? O God, we do pray humbly, reverently tonight, as though it were the last time I'd ever preach. We'd like to see sinners find Christ in this meeting. God grant that it may be so. In the name of the Lord Jesus. Amen. Number 63, I think it is. 63. Now the conveners would like everyone to remain until the hymn is sung. And then our brother Crawford and myself, we will go down to the door. By this being sung. Number 63, solemn hymn, one of the saddest hymns, I think. And we'd like to say tonight, while we don't urge people to walk to the front, and we don't buttonhole anyone, but I know if I were unsaved myself tonight, no one would get me out of this auditorium. And if you're not saved, whether you're a boy or girl, young man, young woman, wherever you may be in this audience, if you're not saved and God has spoken to you tonight, and you want to have it settled,
and you think a conversation would help. Brother Crawford and myself will be delighted, or many other workers that are here, to sit down with you to tell you more of the story of Calvary. May God grant that you may be saved tonight, whoever you may be. And as we've been reminded, if you have been saved, the conveners long to hear. And so do all the Christians and angels. And it brings joy to the Lord Jesus himself and to God his Father. I hope you'll be saved tonight. So shall we sing the solemn hymn, Almost Persuaded Now to Believe, Almost Persuaded Christ to Receive. Seems now some soul to say, Go Spirit, go thy way, some more convenient day, on thee I will call. Angels are lingering near, prayers rise from hearts so dear, O wanderer come. Number 63, leading soldier.